will gather is likely the true heart of your home. It's not necessarily a tranquil space, and usually sees a lot of comings and goings, a lot of communication and sharing. It's the place everyone wants to be. Starting your home purification here benefits everyone who uses the space. Physical cleaning, spiritual purification. The Green Witch has a couple of tricks up her sleeve when it comes to maintaining a healthy, happy home environment. The first is enhancing physical cleaning products with a bit of natural magic. The second is understanding that the energy in a space has to be cleaned regularly, both physically and spiritually. The simplest way to enhance your house cleaning products is to empower them. This means filling them with extra energy associated with a particular goal. It's easy to do. 1. First, hold the container of cleaning product in your hands, or hold your hands over it, and close your eyes. 2. Take 3 or 4 deep breaths to calm and balance yourself. 3. Think of the energy with which you wish to empower the product to help you attain your goal. For example, you could focus on happiness. Try to remember how you feel when you're happy. 4. Now try to pour that feeling into the cleaning product. Visualize the feeling welling up from your heart and flowing down your arms and out through your hands. See the product absorbing that energy. Now when you clean with it, you'll be using the physical product to clean, but while cleaning, you will also be filling the area with the energy with which the product was empowered. You can empower your cleaning supplies with more than one energy, as long as those energies support one another and aren't at cross purposes. For example, you can empower a furniture polish with happiness, peace, and prosperity. For the best results, choose earth-friendly, organic, or fair trade cleaning products that carry no toxic ingredients. You can do a general empowerment of your supplies, or you can think about what each one is for or what it contains, and code the empowerment that way. Chapter 5 lists correspondences associated with the scents and essences of your cleaning products. You can use these correspondences to energize your cleaning implements. For example, if your product is pine-scented, empower it for protection or prosperity. If your window cleaner is scented with lemon, empower it for love and joy. If your dish detergent is scented with apple, empower it for health. When you clean, you can further visualize the energy you are calling into the space. Visualizing while you clean also helps take away the boredom and resentment we associate with removing the dust and dirt that will just build up again anyway. Think of it as Green Witch maintenance of your personal space. The second dimension to keeping your space clean and bright is purification. It's important to clean the energy of your living space because the energy of an environment affects the energy of the people functioning within it. If you've ever walked into a room and felt odd for no obvious reason, then you've been affected by the energy present in that space. While it's true that the physical state of cleanliness affects the energy of a room, you have to clean the existing energy of a room as well. Otherwise, the negative energy will pile up, just as dust collects on a bookshelf that you neglect to clean. Purification can be done in several ways. A classic method is to sweep the negative energy away with a broom. The witch's broom is often seen only as a symbol, but it can also be used as a regular tool. It can, in fact, be a remarkably useful item, and it's very easy to use. Broom purification. This basic purification with a broom can be done almost any time and anywhere. Do not use a plastic or nylon-bristled broom. Find one with real straw bristles. Craft shops and farms open to the public sometimes sell handmade brooms. For a personal touch, you can make one yourself following the directions in Chapter 7. You can keep the broom you use for purification for that purpose alone, or use your regular house cleaning broom to purify. Here is how you should purify with a broom. 1. Stand in the middle of the room you intend to purify. Hold the broom in your hands. 2. Take 3 deep, slow breaths to calm yourself. 3. Begin to make a sweeping motion, sweeping the broom from your right to your left. Don't actually touch the floor with the broom, but swing the broom 1 inch or so above it. It's energy you're sweeping, not the floor itself. 4. Turning to your left, slowly turn in place. This is a counterclockwise direction, which is traditionally associated with breaking up and banishing negative energy. Walk in a counterclockwise spiral around the room, sweeping just above the floor as you go. As you walk and sweep, visualize the energy of the room being stirred up by the motion of your broom, and any heavy spots being broken up and restored to the regular flow. See the energy being transformed from murky to bright and sparkling. 5. Sweep the entire room, gradually widening your counterclockwise spiral until you end at the door. 6. If you wish, you may end the purification with a short statement, such as, "Bright and strong flows the energy through my home. This room is purified." Another wonderful way to purify a room is with incense. The following recipe creates a gentle incense that, when burned, releases energy associated with clearing negativity. For more detailed information on how to make and use herbal incense, see Chapter 7. Room Purification Incense. Burn a pinch of this incense on a small self-lighting charcoal tablet, not barbecue charcoal, in a heat-proof sensor or dish. This recipe will make about a tablespoon of incense. 1 teaspoon of frankincense resin. 1 teaspoon of copal resin. Mortar and pestle, optional. 1 teaspoon of dried powdered lemon zest. 3 pinches of dried lavender. Small glass jar with tight-fitting lid. 1. If necessary, gently grind the resins with a mortar and pestle until the pieces are in small granules. Be careful not to overgrind them, or they will become sticky. 2. Add all the ingredients to the jar, cap it, and shake until the ingredients are well blended. 3. Hold the jar in your hands and visualize a sparkling light forming around it. This sparkling light is purifying energy to empower the incense. Visualize the sparkling light being absorbed into the blend of resins and herbs. 4. Label and date the jar. To use the incense, light a charcoal tablet and place it within the sensor as instructed in Chapter 7. Take a pinch of the purification incense and sprinkle it on top of the charcoal. Place the sensor in the middle of the room and allow the purifying energy to fill the room as the smoke releases it. Using the four elements inside the home. Being surrounded by nature may be the first thing that pops to mind when you think of the path of a green witch. But as you have seen, what's inside a green witch's home is just as important as what's outside. Many of us who live in an urban environment do not have access to wild areas. The modern green witch needs to figure out how to connect to green energy without being surrounded by nature. This can be easily accomplished in the home. Every green witch is different, and as the practice is informal, there is no prescribed way to decorate your personal space. Depending on your personal tastes and preferences, your home may look extremely different from the home of another green witch. One of the easiest ways to bring the energy of the natural world into your home is to introduce plants into your space. By surrounding yourself with items of personal significance and choosing colors and decor for your home that reflect your goal of harmony and balance, you reinforce your home as your place of power. Although most green witches have one or more rooms or nooks or crannies in or around the house specifically designed as sacred locations where they work or commune with nature and the divine, your entire home can become sacred space. The hearth, the heart of your home, is always a focus for the home of the green witch, whether it's the kitchen or another room where the family gathers. This is rarely a convenient place for practical worship. Although green witchcraft is certainly not a ceremonial path and not laden with formal ritual, a central area through which you can touch the divine can make your spiritual journey more grounded. Shrines are ideal for this purpose. The green witch acknowledges that the energy of the divine manifests within the natural world. The basic metaphysical building blocks of the natural world are the four elements: earth, air, fire, and water. By working with these elements, you can strengthen your connection to the natural world, and this can be done inside or outside. If you don't have access to forests and fields, you can work with the four elements indoors and balance your connection to the natural world through them. Element Shrines. An element shrine is a place where you can connect with one element or all four. For example, if you build a water shrine, you can include a crystal goblet of water, a small water fountain, shells, river stones, and pictures of waterfalls, rainstorms, or calm lakes. You may place a soft blue scarf under these objects, and perhaps add a clear quartz crystal or two to represent ice. A fire shrine may be a collection of candles in reds and golds on a crimson cloth, perhaps with a small copper or brass figurine of a lion or a dragon. The important thing is to think about what the element means to you, and to gather a small selection of items that evoke the feeling that element inspires in you. It is important to remember that a shrine is not an altar. An altar is a place of focus consecrated to the spiritual use of the Green Witch. It is used as a place to hold tools and equipment during a spell or ritual, and a place to work on charms and witchcrafts. An altar can be permanent or temporary. Many witches set up a temporary altar each time they wish to work. As shrines may be used to honor deities or elements, the altar is not required for this purpose, and thus can be considered more of a workspace. Many green witches use whatever surface they wish as an altar, perhaps using the same cloth to spread over various surfaces each time they set up their altar. In this case, the cloth itself becomes the altar, carrying the energy associated with repeated spiritual workings. Green witches follow their intuition, and so may not perform rituals or work spells in the same place each time, choosing the location according to what feels right for their purpose. For the Green Witch, this means that a workbench or a craft table may sometimes serve as an altar. The practicality of the Green Witch determines where she works, and very often these sorts of tasks are undertaken in a variety of different places. Potions and salves may be created in the kitchen, while the creation of a protective wreath may take place in the garage. You may choose to formally consecrate your temporary altar each time you set it up, or not, as the mundane is sacred to the Green Witch. A simple blessing with the four elements can serve to consecrate the surface you have chosen to use as an altar. See the elemental blessing in Chapter 7. As a Green Witch, you may also consider using a stone or stump as a permanent outdoor altar in a corner of your yard or balcony, if you have one. A shrine, however, is a place to honor something or someone, or to leave offerings, a place where you can collect things of personal significance and various energies to weave together an energy that is greater than the sum of its individual parts. A shrine creates a location for a certain kind of energy. The wonderful thing about a shrine is that no one has to know what it is. It can be as simple as a photograph, a candle, a seashell, and a colored ribbon grouped together on a shelf. You know why those particular things are together. Anyone else looking at them will likely think that it's simply a decorative arrangement. What's important is that the energy produced by combining these objects accomplishes the goal you envision for it. An element shrine doesn't have to be in a place generally associated with that element. For example, you don't have to put an earth shrine outside, or a water shrine in the bathroom, or a fire shrine in your kitchen. Experiment with having four separate shrines in four different places. You can try building the earth shrine in the northern part of your house, the air shrine to the east, the fire to the south, and the water to the west, which is how they're usually associated with directions in various traditions of Western occultism. Or think about the kinds of energy you feel in various areas within your home, and cite a shrine accordingly, even if it's not in one of the traditional directions. If you have a room where a lot of thinking and communicating take place, try setting an air shrine there. If you have a room where everyone relaxes and feels at peace after a long day, try setting up an earth or water shrine there. Make sure to have one shrine for each element so that your home remains balanced. If some part of your home is lacking in a certain type of energy, you can set up a shrine to an appropriate element to balance that lack. If there's a room where people tend to lose their tempers or energy runs too high, there may be an excess of fire energy that arises from its decor, or as a result of how the energy flows through it. Try setting up an earth shrine or a water shrine to balance out the fire energy with stability or tranquility. You can also experiment with creating a single shrine to all four elements. Place this shrine where it feels right to you. This may be near your own personal sanctuary, near the door so that it is the first thing you see when you enter and the last before you leave, or near the center of your home. In a shrine to all four elements, you don't need to collect multiple representations of a single element. Instead, choose one or two objects to symbolize each element and group them in an arrangement that pleases you and feels right. Shrines are fluid things. You can add objects as you feel drawn to them, or remove objects when you feel they no longer serve their purpose. On a shrine to all four elements, have at least one item to represent each element at all times. Traditionally, a small dish of salt or sand holds the energy of earth, a candle holds the energies of fire, a small dish or glass of water holds water energy, and a stick of incense or feather or a fresh flower holds the energies of air. If you're worried about salt or water being knocked over, try a small potted plant or a stone for earth and a shell for water. Light the candle and the incense only when you are in the room. Doing this once a day for a few minutes can help you collect your thoughts and your energies. It gives you a moment of peace to commune with these four basic building blocks of nature. Themed shrines. By creating shrines in different places, with each shrine focused on a different energy, you can create vortices of specific energies that can balance out a surplus or lack of those energies in your home. Think about creating a shrine to one or more of the basic areas upon which the Green Witch focuses. If you wish to bring more prosperity and health into your home, for example, why not create a shrine with objects that represent abundance and health to you? Make a sacred outdoor space. If you are fortunate enough to be an urban green witch with a bit of green space behind or in front of your home, there are a few things you can do with this space to make it vibrant and more sacred. If you own or rent land, then you may consider creating a small outdoor sacred space in which you can relax, rebalance, and reconnect with the natural world. While most people who hear the words outdoor sacred space envision a large circle, perhaps with standing stones and a full, flourishing garden, the Green Witch knows that sacred space requires nothing so elaborate. A small corner, a garden bench, or even a single stone set into a small flower bed can serve as your sacred space. You may dream of turning your entire backyard into a temple, but in reality, your yard is more likely to be taken up by a play area for children, a tool shed, a pool, or storage. Perhaps you share your green space with others. This will also limit your activities and access. In practical terms, establishing outdoor sacred space can be an even bigger challenge than creating an indoor sacred space. If you find it a chore to keep your indoor space tidy, then an outdoor space will be no different. An entire backyard dedicated as sacred space means that you'll have to keep that entire space neat, clean, healthy, and well-maintained. Sacred space doesn't have to be obvious. It can be a small area that only you recognize as being dedicated to your spirituality. You can choose a set of plants that symbolize your practice and plant them together. You can place a stone among the plants, or a small all-weather statue, or a trellis upon which you can hang a tiny set of wind chimes. Choose anything that has meaning to you. Your small corner of outdoor sacred space should offer you a place to sit or stand to pause and clear your mind, to touch spirit, and to rebalance yourself. You may also find inspiration in sacred places found in nature. Areas such as streams, pools, and lakes are sometimes seen as sacred, for water is often associated with the other world. Perhaps a small fountain or other water feature appeals to you and can become your own sacred space. Single trees and groves have also been traditionally seen as sacred. You can plant a special tree or bush in your sacred space. Mountains are commonly held to be sacred. While building a mountain or even an earth mound is highly impractical, if not impossible, you might want to represent a mountain with one or more standing stones in any size of your choosing. Even planting a small 12-inch stone into the ground with intention can declare a space sacred. The modern green witch in the urban setting can sometimes feel lost. Other options are always available. Visit your city parks or public gardens to find a place that feels comfortable and calm to you, a place where you can achieve reconnection and rebalancing. Set up a container garden on your balcony. See Chapter 6 for tips and ideas on Green Witch container gardening in the city. Carefully selected houseplants can also furnish you with a connection to a sacred space with the feeling of outdoors. Be in tune with the earth. No matter what her access to nature is, the Green Witch works closely with the earth. You can live on the 47th floor of a high-rise apartment building and still have a meaningful relationship with the earth. Among the Green Witch's common allies are earth spirits. Earth spirits can be valuable partners and aids in your practice. An earth spirit is an intelligence or awareness attached to a particular place, a plant or tree, a natural object such as a rock or stream, or a specific type of weather. These intelligences are sometimes called devas, sometimes fairies. Often we simply refer to them as earth spirits, spirit of, or force of something. It is important to understand that these spirits are not deities. Do all green witches recognize or work with earth spirits? No. Some green witches are comfortable talking about fairies or devas, whereas others roll their eyes and get down to hoeing the garden. Most do recognize that nature has an intelligence, or a sense of spirit, that varies according to the location. Not all of us give a name or classification to that sense of spirit. How each green witch works with these spirits or forces depends on how she perceives them. Most green witches will agree that connecting with the various forces and energies of nature is a key aspect of their practice, but it's likely that no two green witches will be able to agree on how to do it, or even what forces they connect to. This shows how highly individualized the green practice is. One thing that most green witches would agree on is that they strive to work in harmony with these forces of nature. How you visualize these spirits is completely up to you. You may see them as tiny people or orbs of light. You may not see them at all, but experience emotions or sensations when you are near the tree, flower, standing stone, or phenomenon with which the spirit is associated. Whether your visualization matches other visualizations is unimportant. What is important is that if you choose to work with them, you must honor the spirits as allies in your green witch work to attune to the natural world and to rebalance and harmonize life. You can encounter nature spirits in many places and through a variety of methods. The simplest method is to reach out and connect with the spirit of a single plant, then ask the plant spirit for information on the plant's uses and properties. In his book, Plant Spirit Medicine, Elliot Cowan stresses that the energy possessed by each individual plant is entirely personal. The information and/or gift the spirit of that plant offers to you is exactly what you need at that moment. This gift is not necessarily energy that is traditionally associated with the plant. For example, if you project your awareness to a rose bush, the energy you receive in return will not necessarily be love. The spirit of the rose bush may perceive that you require something different and offer it to you. The key to working with nature spirits like this is to be open to what they offer you without expectations or preconceived ideas. Referring to lists of correspondences associated with particular plants is useful for getting a general idea of how to use the plant's energy. But it is much more useful to communicate directly with the spirit of the plant to acquire your own understanding or interpretation of the energy and how it may be applied. The Green Witch never assumes she knows something, or presumes that she is correct, or takes something at face value. It is important to seek out your own experience and build your own opinions as you deepen your understanding of an element, a process, or a situation. Chapter 3 offers a series of exercises designed to help you take in information and energy through your senses, and a variety of techniques for interacting with nature and acquiring information from plant spirits. Because there are different ways of working with plant energy, every green witch will develop her own method of absorbing and applying that energy. Employing plant energies in the practice of medicinal herbalism is perhaps the most common method of using natural energy, but the practice of homeopathy and the use of batch flower remedies are also popular methods of working with the energy of flowers, plants, and trees. Chapter 3. Attune yourself to nature. In green witchcraft, one of the most important practices is constantly reestablishing your understanding of nature as it is now around you. Maintaining contact with your physical environment is crucial to maintaining a meaningful individual practice. If you lose touch with your environment, you lose the one thing that connects you to your natural surroundings. Green witchcraft is always about the now, about the current state of your environment. Being aware of your environment means knowing the energies moving through it, the energies it produces, its health and rate of vibration. It also means being aware of how your own energy and mental or emotional state fit into your surroundings. If you're not aware of the current state of your environment, then how can you evaluate what sort of work is required of you? You may think you know your environment, but you might be surprised when you stop to create a new relationship with it. One of the basic foundations of living the Green Witch Path is forging a connection with nature and natural forces. It is imperative that you forge a connection with what is actually there, and not what you assume to be there. Get to know your corner of the universe. If you live in an urban setting, then that city's energy is the energy to which you must open yourself in order to be in tune with your neighborhood and your environment. It is crucial to interact with your natural environment as it actually is, not the nature you imagine or idealize. The environment you knew yesterday or last month is no longer the environment that surrounds you. Energy is in a state of constant change. Thus, the Green Witch must also be aware and always adjusting her knowledge. You may think you know your neighborhood, but it's useful to take the time to see it in a new way. Use all your senses to explore where you live. Ask yourself the following questions. Answer them honestly. How do the seasons change where you live? What changes can you see and feel? What influence does the moon have on you? What is the phase of the moon right now? What wild plants are common to your neighborhood? Name at least 10 local plants. Of those 10 plants, which are indigenous to your area and which were imported? When were they imported and by whom? What trees are most commonly found in your neighborhood? Again, which are indigenous and which were deliberately introduced? When and by whom? What wildlife is native to your area? Is the water that's channeled to your tap hard or soft? What type of soil does your neighborhood have? Is it chalky, clay, sandy, or other? Is it alkaline or acidic? What you don't know may surprise you and perhaps disappoint you too. You may know the name of the street that crosses yours, or what park is nearest to you, but what is basic and integral to your natural environment is often unknown or unrecognized. Taking the time to learn more about your neighborhood will give you a good, solid base from which to learn more about how your natural environment functions. Make a point of finding out the answers to the previous questions. Write the answers in your Green Witch Journal. Walking around your neighborhood with enhanced awareness can teach you more than you thought you knew. Engage in the following exercises, which are designed to help you observe as much as you can and make the most of each experience as you gather information. Interaction exercises. When observation is done with intent, you will discover more about your neighborhood. For this exercise, first choose a stone or a plant that you're familiar with. Allow yourself to experience it again as if for the first time. Answer the following questions. Write your answers in your Green Witch Journal. What does this stone or plant feel like to the touch? How does it smell? What does it look like? What sounds does it make? How does it taste? Caution, try to catch the taste on the air. Never place an unidentified plant or object in your mouth. Once you've done this exercise with a few plants or stones you're already familiar with, try one you've not experienced before. Notes on these exercises will serve as the basis of your Green Witch lore and become the heart of your personal practice. Experience the environmental energy around you. Although the Green Witch uses herbs for their medicinal qualities, the magical qualities of the natural world are also very much her friends. If you look at the uses traditionally associated with various herbs throughout the ages, the medicinal benefits often parallel the magical uses. This is because, in addition to a certain chemical makeup that determines its effect when applied to the physical body, an herb also possesses a unique energy that affects the emotions and spirit of a person. Exercise: Sensing energy. Perform this exercise with a plant with which you are familiar, then try it with something you've never seen or handled before. Trust your observations. For this exercise, you'll need the plant, plus your Green Witch journal and a pen or pencil. 1. Take the plant in your hand. If it is a dried or harvested herb, hold a pinch in your palm or hold your hand over it, palm down. If it is a living plant that you have correctly identified as safe to touch, gently touch it with your fingers. If you cannot identify it, hold your hand above or to the side of the plant with your palm toward it. 2. Close your eyes and imagine your palm glowing. Focus on the sensation of your palm. It may tingle or grow warm or cool. That means you're focusing on the energy your palm is creating naturally. 3. Visualize the plant glowing. 4. Visualize the glow of energy collected in your palm gently stretching out to touch the glowing energy of the plant. As the two energies meet, ask yourself what you sense. Do you feel a specific emotion? Do ideas drift into your head? Thoughts or vague hunches? Pay attention. This is a method for collecting observations about the plant by sensing its energy with your own energy. 5. When you feel you have observed enough, send the plant a feeling of gratitude for its cooperation. Then visualize your energy disengaging from that of the plant and drawing back into your palm. 6. Open your eyes and shake your hand firmly, as if you're shaking water off of it. This will help you get rid of any excess energy hanging on. 7. Write your observations in your Green Witch journal. What was the experience like? What sort of observations did you make while sensing the energy of the plant? Did the plant feel energetic, calming, nurturing? Write down everything that comes to you and don't worry about whether it makes sense or not. Your observations of the energy of the plant are valid because they're yours. Everyone interacts differently with the energy of a plant. If lavender energizes you, then that is one of lavender's energy benefits in your practice, even though many books will tell you that lavender generally projects feelings of peace and tranquility. Acquiring first-hand knowledge is important for a Green Witch, as it shapes and refines your practice, personalizing it in a way that makes it truly unique. Grounding yourself. When you work with energy, it is important to ground. Grounding means connecting your personal energy to that of the earth and allowing a rebalancing of your energy to occur. If you are nervous or excited, you may be running too much energy through your body. The earth is a good place to shunt that extra energy. If you are lethargic or dizzy, you may be suffering from a lack of energy, and the earth has plenty to share with you. Once you are grounded, you can absorb the energy of the earth to replenish your low energy levels. To ground yourself, follow these steps. 1. Take 3 deep, slow breaths. 2. Next, take a moment to feel your own energy flowing through your body. Focus on a point in the center of your chest and visualize a small green glowing light there. This is your energy center. 3. Now visualize a tendril of green energy growing from that energy center down toward the earth. Let it reach down past your feet. Visualize it growing into the earth itself, spreading into roots and twisting through the soil. Take a moment to feel how solid and stable your root is in the earth. 4. Now that you have formed a connection with the earth, you can either allow your excess energy to flow down to mingle with that of the earth, or draw some of the earth's energy up to replace the energy you are missing. Grounding is good to do when you get up in the morning, last thing at night, before you do any energy work, or whenever you feel a little out of sync with the world around you. Work with the 4 natural elements. The 4 physical elements form the building blocks of a Green Witch's understanding of the world around her. They represent the raw material of nature. The flow and interaction between the 4 basic elemental energies form the basis of change, transformation, growth, evolution, and development in our environment and in our lives. Each element has a specific energy. Traditionally, they have the following associations. Earth, grounding, abundance, receptive and passive. Air, communication, intellect, projective and active. Fire, passion, creativity, projective and active. Water, emotion, sensitivity, receptive, and passive. While these traditional associations are useful and a handy shortcut, how you perceive the energy of each element influences your personal practice and how you interact with the world. Exercise: Sensing the Four Elements. This exercise helps you build a personal relationship with each element. Before you begin, review the previous energy sensing exercise. Your green witch journal and a pen or pencil. Small dish of earth. Note, make sure it's rich earth. If all you have is dry potting soil, use a dish of salt or a stone or a crystal. Hand fan, or small piece of cardstock. Votive candle in a candle holder. Matches and or a lighter. Small dish of water. Small towel. 1. Begin by sitting quietly at a table or on the floor with the supplies set out in front of you. Take 3 deep breaths. As you exhale, visualize any tension leaving your body. 2. Visualize your fingertips glowing with your personal energy. Visualize the sample of earth glowing with the energy of earth. 3. Gently reach out and rest your fingertips on the soil, or salt, or stone, or crystal. Close your eyes and allow your personal energy to contact its energy. 4. While connected to the earth energy, observe as much as you can about how it makes you feel. 5. When you are finished, withdraw your fingers and brush them off if necessary. Shake your hand to remove any excess energy or odd sensations. Open your journal and write down all of your observations. What observations did you make about the energy of earth? How did it make you feel? What did it make you think of? 6. Pick up the hand fan or cardstock in one hand and hold your other hand out, palm up. Visualize the palm of your hand glowing with your personal energy. Close your eyes and slowly begin to wave the fan or card, creating an air current directed at your other palm. As the air moves, see it glow with the energy of air. Allow the energy of the air current to meet the energy of your palm and observe the sensations you pick up. Vary the speed of the air current and observe whether that makes a difference to your observations. When you are finished, set aside the fan and shake your hand to remove any excess energy or odd sensations. Write down your observations about the energy of the element of air in your journal. 7. Light the votive candle. Again, visualize the energy of your palm glowing. Visualize the flame of the candle glowing with the energy of fire. Hold your hand beside the flame at a safe and comfortable distance and reach out to the energy of fire with your own energy. Observe as much as you can about the energy of fire. When you are finished, snuff out the candle and shake any excess energy off your hand. Write down your observations about the energy of the element of fire in your journal. 8. Bring the dish of water toward you. Visualize your fingertips glowing with your personal energy, and see water glowing with the energy of the element of water. Slowly touch the surface of the water with your fingertips, and allow your personal energy to engage with the water's energy. Observe as much as you can about the energy of water. When you are finished, withdraw your fingers and wipe them on the small towel, then shake them to remove any excess energy. Write down your observations about the energy of the element of water in your journal. For a different experience, try to find a large natural manifestation of each element's energy with which to interact. Interact with the energy of the summer sun to gain a different experience of the energy of fire. Stand in a rain shower or snowstorm or next to a strong, flowing river to gain a different perception of the energy of water. Bury your legs and feet in sand, or take off your shoes and work your toes in freshly turned garden soil to interact with the element of earth. Stand outside on a windy day to experience the power of air. Write down your experiences and observations in your Green Witch Journal. To keep yourself attuned to the basic energies produced by the elements, perform this exercise at least once a year. For a deeper understanding of the cycles of energy in your area, interact with the elements on a large scale once every season. Doing this will help you better understand how the local energies interact and how their levels and presence ebb and flow with the cycle of the year. Invoking the four elements. Although the four elements are always present, you can choose to recognize them in your practice by formally inviting one or more of the elements to aid you in your Green Witch work. This formal invitation is often called invoking the element. Invoking an element is a conscious act that draws that element's energy to you in your environment. Invoking an element can be done if you want that element's particular aid or energy to blend with the work you are doing. For example, if you are creating a garden sachet for fertility in your vegetable garden, then you may invoke the element of earth to be present while you construct the sachet and weave the elemental energy into the energy of the sachet to help support and reinforce it. Instead of placing your elemental symbols according to one of the traditional directions, you can create a more accurate connection with your own geographic location. Where is the largest body of water in your vicinity? Where are mountain ranges? Where are plains across which the wind drives with nothing to stop it? Where does the sun seem to shine most brightly, with the most heat? You may want to reassign elemental associations with specific directions. This too can affect how you conduct personal practice. Many green witches like to work with a symbol of each element nearby, which honors the elements and creates a balanced atmosphere in which to work. As we learned in Chapter 2, each element is traditionally associated with a cardinal direction. You can balance the overall energy of an area by introducing an elemental energy that is lacking. A small collection of all four elemental symbols supports the balance of all four energies. It also provides the Green Witch with a source of elemental energies from which she can draw in her magical work, if empowered to do so by those sources. Those symbols can be as simple as a small candle for fire, a feather for air, or a stick of incense to represent both fire and air together, a stone or green plant for earth, and a small glass of water. You can set them in their proper directions or in any way that appeals to you. You can also have symbols of all four elements in your workspace where you do green witch work and formally invoke the presence of all four. If you choose to invoke all four elements, you'll have a powerful pool of energy to draw from while you work that can support your magical goal. Meditating on the elements. Sometimes brainstorming with other green witches, or Wiccans and other neo-pagans, can help you create a new set of associations for something. Relaxing and thinking about a single element at a time can also yield a surprising variety of images, thoughts, and personal correspondences. If you do this work, don't forget to have your Green Witch Journal nearby to record ideas as they arise in your mind. Sit comfortably in your Green Witch space or in another familiar and comfortable area. Choose an element and begin to free associate. Don't do all four elements in one session, however. Do them on separate days. Discover and develop your senses. While everyone interfaces differently with the world around them, we all acquire information via our five senses. Vision. Most people are primarily visual. In social situations of every kind, we take our cues from other people. Observing their clothes, their body language, and their physical appearance, we get clues how to behave appropriately. Seeing different colors also stimulates us in different ways. Here are some exercises to help you develop how you use your sense of sight. Sit in front of a window and use it as a frame for what you see through it. Examine everything within this frame, taking as much time as you require to really look at what you see. If you like, divide the window into quarters and examine the view, quarter by quarter. Look at textures, colors, and light and shadow. Allow yourself to really see things in detail. Things you usually just glance at and take in during a split second. Look at a color photo of an apple, then at a real apple. How are they different to your eyes? How are they the same? Set an everyday object on a table in front of you and look at it carefully. Then hold it above your normal eye level and look up at it. Set it on the floor and look down at it. Move it to the left, then to the right. How does the position of the object change how you see it? Sound. Sound is overwhelmingly present in our lives. Traffic, cars, airplanes, etc., the sounds of radio and television, and the noise and conversation of crowds surround us nearly all the time. Our world is very rarely truly silent. The sound of wind through the leaves of a tree or of water lapping the shoreline are sounds that speak of very specific environments that call up specific emotional reactions. Hearing helps us fill in what our vision reveals to us. If our sense of hearing is taken away from us, we feel lost. But it's also true that if we are in an area that is too quiet, we can become uncomfortable. Here are exercises to help you deepen your sense of hearing. Sit in a familiar place in your home and close your eyes. Listen deliberately and with awareness to the sounds of your home. What do you hear? How many different sounds do you hear? Where are they coming from? Can you identify them? Do not attempt this exercise just before you go to bed, or you will find that your attunement to little sounds will cause you to be distracted by noises all night. Sit in a public place like a mall or a restaurant and perform this exercise again. Do it with a friend by your side so that you can relax and not worry about what's going on around you. How are the sounds different? How is the way you listen in public different from how you listen at home? Sit outdoors and perform the exercise. Do you find it more difficult to identify outdoor sounds? Where do they come from? Do you hear more or fewer sounds than you hear indoors? Touch. Children are always touching everything they encounter. As we grow up, however, we learn that it isn't socially acceptable to pick up everything we see and handle it. Our concern for personal space also forces us apart. The sense of touch can be further broken down into specific kinds of senses that we often consider to come under the heading of touch: the perception of pain, the perception of temperature, the perception of pressure, the perception of balance and equilibrium, and the perception of body awareness or location. Try these exercises to explore your sense of touch. If possible, do them with your eyes closed so you are not using sight to influence your sense of touch. Gather a feather, a small bowl of salt, an ice cube in a small bowl or glass, a piece of wood, and a satin ribbon, and set them on a table in front of you. One by one, explore the touch of each item. Take as much time as possible exploring the feel of each item. Don't try to analyze the sensations. Just observe and accept them, enjoying the sensory input. Pick the item up. Stroke it with your fingertips, with your palm, with the back of your hand. Run it along your forearm or your cheek. Hold it in your hands and feel its weight and shape. How does it feel if you hold it still? How does it feel if you move your hand while holding it? Find a patch of sun. Move your hand into the sun and feel its warmth. Move it back into the shadows and feel the absence of heat. Set a bowl of warm water and a bowl of cold water on the table in front of you. Make sure the warm water isn't scalding. Sink the fingers of one hand into the bowl of warm water. Leave them there for a minute, then remove them and put them into the bowl of cold water. How does the temperature contrast feel? After leaving your fingers in the cold water for a minute, dip them back into the warm water. Does the warm water feel different now? Taste. Our sense of taste is often drowned in excess. Fast food and canned meals have lowered our standards of taste to such an extent that if we taste a carrot freshly pulled from the earth, our taste buds are overstimulated and we lose the complexity of flavor. Even more common is biting into a fresh apple. The tangy flavor surprises our taste buds, which have become used to the duller flavor of fruit stored for periodic release over the winter and spring. Produce imported from other areas often travels for days and loses the depth of its flavor. We have become accustomed to dull, chemical-like tastes. To remind your taste buds of single flavors, do the following exercise. Wash and dry your hands. On a table, set out a small bowl of salt, a small bowl of sugar, a small bowl of an herb such as rosemary, preferably fresh but dry will do, a segment of orange, a slice of lemon, a glass of water, and a slice of plain bread. Sit down and touch your finger to the salt, then touch your finger to your tongue. Allow the taste of the salt to spread across your tongue. How does it taste? Can you describe it without using the word salty? Cleanse your palate by taking a sip of water and a tiny bite of the bread. Repeat the action with the sugar, then cleanse your palate again. Continue along through the foods, taking the time to allow each flavor to sink into your taste buds. Imagine you are tasting each food for the very first time. Repeat this exercise when you take the first bite of your next meal. Taste each item on your plate slowly and carefully, and imagine you are tasting each one for the very first time. This is also a wonderful exercise to perform with seasonal foods such as local fruit that has just been harvested. Strawberries grown locally and picked during strawberry season, for example, have a very special taste that cannot be replicated by hothouse berries grown across the country in the off-season. Smell. We usually underestimate the power of our sense of smell. Smell is a delicate sense that picks up minute shifts in air currents, and it's often overwhelmed in the city by exhaust from cars, dirt and refuse, perfumes and over-scented soaps, and the general effluvia of thousands of people living close together. Alternatively, when we travel to another area, such as the seashore or the countryside, we can be overwhelmed by the odors there simply because we are not accustomed to them, or because they are not diluted or covered by other scents. Try these exercises to help deepen your understanding of your sense of smell. Sit in a familiar place in your home and close your eyes. Breathe evenly. As you inhale, notice what scents you are smelling. What is the general overall scent of your home? Can you further identify the individual smells that constitute that overall scent? Repeat this exercise in a public place, with a friend along to keep an eye on what's going on around you. When you close your eyes, how would you identify the location simply by its smell? Can you identify smaller, individual smells? Repeat this exercise outdoors. Do you find it easier or more difficult to identify individual smells outside? The sixth sense. Alongside the five basic physical senses, there is another method you use to gather information. This is the sense people call the sixth sense. Your sixth sense tells you that someone behind you is staring at you. Even though you cannot use one of the five physical senses to confirm it, you can sense it. The Green Witch knows and understands that this sense cannot always be explained. She also acknowledges its existence and accepts information acquired via the sixth sense. There are various explanations for how the sixth sense works. Some say that your personal energy field, sometimes referred to as the aura, picks up the energy fields of other things and information passes between them. Living in an urban setting, people tend to become desensitized to the sights, smells, and sounds of their daily environment. A green witch should never allow herself to become desensitized, however, because this means she will miss minute shifts in energy, changes that may signal a problem of some kind. The old adage, familiarity breeds contempt, has some application here as well. Cultivating your sixth sense can help you avoid the trap of desensitization, for it allows you an alternate method by which information comes to you. Chapter 4. Manifest the power of the seasons. Awareness of the natural rhythm of the solstices and equinoxes and how they are reflected in her own geographical location form the axis of the Green Witch's practice. The solar year is made up of four distinct seasons, each with resonance for the Green Witch. These four seasons can provide the basis for personal practice and the creation of a unique tradition specific to you as an individual Green Witch. The four seasons also allow you to formally recognize the flow of seasonal energy and honor it. Set aside some time on or around the first day of the season to meditate upon the changes in energy that you are feeling in your environment. Meditate on the part of the life cycle the season represents. This chapter will provide suggested meditations for the solstices and equinoxes. They follow the traditional symbolic associations of each season. It is important to feel the rise and fall, the ebb and flow, and the different flavors of seasonal energy. This is key to harmonizing the self with nature. Nature has rhythms. You have rhythms. To harmonize means to match your personal rhythms with the rhythms of your environment. This maximizes your interaction with nature so that you can communicate more clearly with it. Observe and note the rhythms of the weather where you live on a regular basis. The weather has great influence both over your environment and over your own personal energy. Seasonal cycles and energy. No matter where you live, your weather cycles form a recognizable pattern over a full calendar year. The vegetation grows and falls back in a pattern over the year. The animal population follows certain behavioral patterns. As the Earth's angle and distance from the sun change, the seasonal cycle embodies the basic relationship between light and dark. The concept of darkness is necessary in the natural cycle. Without darkness, there can be no fallow period during which the earth regains its strength. Seeds will not germinate. Animals will not bear their young in season. When we observe the four seasons, we can categorize the climate shifts and environmental responses that occur over the calendar year. When we observe a certain event happening in the natural world, for example, we can say, "Ah, now it is spring." That event may be different for your neighbor, for someone in the next time zone, or someone in the other hemisphere or south of the equator. We all have personal associations with seasonal events that really bring home what time of year it is. These associations are part of our personal connection with the natural world around us. In North America and Europe, there are four seasons that begin on specific days and at specific times. Climate changes are created by the orbit of the Earth around the sun. As Earth orbits the sun, the Earth's surface is exposed to more or fewer of the sun's effects. This is caused by the angle of declination of the axis of the planet. The amount of sunlight triggers behavioral responses in plants and animals, including humans. In ancient cultures, the seasons were often named according to the natural phenomena of the geographic location, and were often calculated through observation of the movements of stars and planets, or events such as flooding or the movements of herds. Today, in some areas, the seasons are classified by temperature, the hot season, the cold season, or by meteorological events, the rainy season, the dry season. In North America, although the seasons are determined by the astronomical position of the sun and the earth, meteorologically the approximate dates March 21st, June 21st, September 21st, and December 21st are used to mark the beginning of spring, summer, fall, and winter. If a different date in these months makes more sense to you where you live, and corresponds to how seasonal differences manifest in your environment, why not use them? The point of living as a green witch is to be in tune with your surroundings. Adhering to a date simply because it is a standard date does not always make sense when it comes to celebrating the changing seasons. If spring arrives earlier or later than March 21st in your area, as reflected in the plant and animal kingdoms and in your own soul, then by all means celebrate the beginning of spring at a different time. Spring doesn't have to come on the same day every year either. Perhaps one year you sense that spring has arrived on April 2nd, for example, and the next year you feel that it has already arrived on March 12th. Trust your instinct. It is responding to the energies flowing through your locale. As the Green Witch lives a practical life, the four seasons offer both practical and spiritual opportunities for learning more about nature and living in harmony with it. The beginnings of the four seasons are specific points at which to pause and evaluate your life. This isn't only useful for spiritual evaluation. It's also good for practical purposes, such as cutting back the dead growth in the garden, pruning trees, harvesting the last of your crops, washing windows, clearing out the garage, and doing general house cleaning. The true feelings of the season can arrive earlier or later than the calendar indicates. It is up to you as a green witch to observe, trust, and choose to celebrate when you feel the season has truly arrived. Remember, the key to developing your own personal practice is forging your own connection with the energy flow of the year as it is influenced by the weather and climate where you live. If you live south of the equator, remember that these equinoxes and solstices are reversed, and use the appropriate meditation for your season. Tides of the year. The seasonal tides echo the natural cycle in the inner life of the Green Witch. 1. Spring equinox to summer solstice, the growing tide. 2. Summer solstice to autumn equinox, the reaping tide. 3. autumn equinox to winter solstice, the resting tide. 4. Winter solstice to spring equinox, the cleansing.